to India and Ireland, round Africa and back again. We don't really need to know just where we'll go. Maybe Canada, then to Brazil, then through the Alpine foothills. All I really want to know is can we go? Oh baby, can we go? Round and around the globe.
Welcome to Take Me With You, episode 147. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Cheryl. We are two well-traveled people who want to go everywhere.
But that's not going to happen. Instead, for the last couple of years, we've been traveling vicariously by inviting guests to share their unique travel stories with us.
It's been awesome, and our podcast has been all over the globe.
Now we're taking some time to revisit the Wish You Were Here segment of our show, where we each share travel attractions that we recommend.
Today, the Wish You Were Here's are from New York!
New York, New
In
York.
New York.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like there's like a million songs about New York.
Yep, there's a lot of them. Yeah, I was even thinking about like Annie, I feel like is the first one I knew.
Mm-hmm.
NYC, yes. But this is going to be a fun episode. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Most of these are from New York City.
Right.
For one.
Yep.
And, I'm trying to think if this is a trip I think you should take, Ryan, because you haven't been to New York.
That's kind of what I was thinking. This is definitely when I finally get to New York, this episode will be really helpful for me since I haven't ever been. So I don't know these things. I've heard of these things. And I think there's a pretty good sprinkling of these throughout the different seasons and things that we've done. But I have not experienced any of them. So I have lots to learn.
I think this would be a good trip for you. I was so satisfied with my visit to New York. I felt like it just was a good like spread of things. And I felt like I was really happy with what I did. And we have two from guests in New York City and then one from outside of New York City from a guest as well. And those are things I haven't done that look really fun too. So I mean, I think you could use this episode to plan your trip pretty easily.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll get started right now.
Okay, good.
So Cheryl, why don't you start? What's your Wish You Were Here place for us today?
Okay, so this one I actually thought of, this was not planned. This one I thought of as you were talking about museums, and yeah. I have a museum that I would really recommend. I think it's under the category of museum. It's the 9/11 museum.
Oh yeah.
In New York. I went to New York last fall and was told like this is a really great thing to go to, and I had some alone time, and I think museums are a great thing to do alone. And so it really was one where you could walk in not knowing what happened on 9/11 and get the full picture, and they walk you through the whole story, like of what led up to it. And they even tell you about the buildings themselves, like the history of like when the buildings were built, and then what happened that day, and then how people responded, and then like what's happened since then. And so they walk you through the whole thing. It is very emotional. And I mean, they're playing like phone calls from people who were on the plane. So like,
oh boy,
it is emotional. It is also so well done. It's so purposeful in like the order. Like it's one of those where you go through in a specific order. They have really beautiful art there as well. They even have this one giant wall of, I think the name of the piece is like the color of the sky that day or something like that. And it's all these rectangles, just like, I think like 8.5 by 11s that are watercolor, different shades of blue. And it's like talking about how like people had a hard time remembering what color the sky was that day. And then it has this really, I don't remember what the quote was, but there's a giant quote on it. And so that was really gorgeous. But I mean, they have like pieces of the buildings around there, like and everything. And then right outside it, I don't think I totally knew this, that they have not rebuilt in the places that the Twin Towers were. I don't know if I was fully aware of like what was done with that space, but they are both fountains now. So they're huge, but they're fountains that go down as opposed to go up. So it's just like at eye level and then it goes down into the earth, which is like very impactful. And I think I appreciate it because of like, I think how like correctly that like show, I don't know, like as far as thinking about losing these buildings, losing these people, for it to go down like that, you know, where the buildings went up and now the fountain goes down is like very, I guess an accurate way to like, and what a wonderful thing to like do with that space to not rebuild. Yeah. Cause obviously, I mean, you think about like the value of that property or anything, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And so I'm very impressed and appreciative that it hasn't been rebuilt as well. And then like the names of everyone who is lost are like on the sides of that fountain on this, like almost like a railing thing. And, it's just, it was very well done. I would, really recommend it. And so I think that's definitely like a worthwhile thing to do in New York. So, yeah,
great.
It wasn't fun, but it was very good. And so,
yeah,
but it was one of those museums where I think actually like, I'm very impressed with how it feels like it was done right and everything, which is great. So, So, today I want to share about is it a restaurant if you don't sit? Yeah, it's still a restaurant. It's a food place.
A food place. You would like to share about a food place.
I would like to share about a food place.
Okay.
In New York, in Greenwich Village, which also happens to be the neighborhood that Friends is supposed to be taking place in. This is not Friends related. I just felt like I should mention that.
Yeah, it's probably necessary.
Well, I'm just thinking for our Friends fans that they could go to this place and then also go look at the exterior shot of the Friends apartment.
Because you can see it from this place?
I mean, like, it's walkable. And then also, like, the arch in the Washington Square Park as well, which is, like, New York has its own little, like, Arc de Triomphe, but not, or whatever. So, you know.
Arc de not triomphe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an arc. It's in a park. You know, it's a thing. An arc in a park.
Arc park.
This place is called Dough, I'm guessing is the pronunciation. It is spelled D-O, and then I think it might have like a line over the O, maybe? Let's see if I can figure that out. Yeah, there's a line over the top of the O. We're going to say it's pronounced Dough, and the reason I think that is because it is a place where you can buy edible cookie dough.
Cheryl, all cookie dough is edible.
Well, no, I would agree with like that because I grew up in a household where we ate cookie dough and we ate brownie batter and things like that.
Yeah.
Not everyone is on that train necessarily. So this is maybe like, health services approved cookie dough.
How do they do that?
Well, I guess they just don't put eggs in it. I guess that'd be the only difference.
Okay.
But that's fine if you're just eating the dough. It looks and functions like an ice cream shop.
Oh.
Where they have, like, the glass with all the containers and all the flavors. There's probably, like, 15 of them. And you can order it in a cone or in a cup.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you just get cookie dough that you eat. And it's so good. And so I heard about it. Actually, okay, so this was a really weird strategy I used, but before I went on this trip I took a year ago to New York and Boston, I went and looked at this Facebook page called Bring Me. It's like, I think it's one of the BuzzFeed ones. There's like Nifty and Bring Me all these different ones. And that one, they just feature like really unique businesses, I guess. Like some of them are food things and some of them are not. And so I just scrolled through their page for like a while. And since a lot of them, they feature in large cities, actually on that trip, I also went to LA. So I just started looking up the places that they listed in LA or New York or Boston and was like, do I want to go to any of these places? And one of them was this edible cookie dough place. And I was like, yes. Yes, I want to go there very much.
Oh,
and
so, this looks amazing, Cheryl.
It's so good. So, I have a lot of food restrictions, but I also can break them. and I don't feel the best afterwards, but like it can be worth it if things are really good. So I was already planning on just like going for it. I can't have wheat, but I was like, for this, I will have something with flour in it. Three of their flavors.
Does cookie dough usually have wheat?
It has flour in it.
Okay.
Have you made, you make cookies?
I do not make them. I have made them, but it has been a long time.
There's flour in cookies.
No, that
That's
makes
like
sense.
That's like a standard. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was like, whatever. I'm still going to have them. Three of their flavors are gluten-free. So not only did they have a gluten-free one, they had choices for me. So I had this flavor that like had all these crazy fun things in it. There was like caramel of some sort. There was Nutella in it. I mean, it was like pretty insane. And it's so good. So that's my wish you were here.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at their website and I'm in love at the moment. they have fried cookie dough balls.
What? Is that new? I didn't know about that when I went there.
I mean, it looks like it. And apparently you can get stuff at Mets games at Citi Field. They have something in Bloomingdale's in Chicago.
Wow, they are expanding then. That's exciting.
To come to Seattle.
Yes. Well, I mean, at state fairs, you can usually get fried cookie dough. But
I want this place. Whole place.
Oh, the whole place. Yeah, whole thing. That's fair. It was so good. It was so good. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Great recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Brooke, what about you?
Mine is also in the continental U.S. I guess not continental because you were in Hawaii, but I'm on the other side of the country. So when I lived in New York City, I was always kind of desperate to try to get outside of the city living sort of feel, like you go to Central Park, you go to other areas just to kind of feel like you were in nature. Mm-hmm. And I loved the museums there. They're beautiful. But there is a portion of the Met that is not actually in Midtown or like the Upper East Side or whatever where the Met is. There's a section called the Cloisters, which is in when I say like the northern part of Manhattan, I mean like all the way at the top in Washington Heights. And you, by the time you get up there, it's in this park that's called Fort Tryon Park. And it's not, you feel like you're not even in Manhattan. You're still on the island, technically. But it's not like, because when you're in Central Park, you can still see the buildings around you. You can still hear traffic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The city's in you. You feel it. But with the Cloisters and this park, it is just so remote and quiet. Mm. It takes a while to get there because it is, you know, past the 200s, like it's really far up and high up in the city. But I think what I did was I took like the train for a bit and then it ends and they have to get out and take a bus. But it was beautiful. So the Cloisters are what they did was they took different structures from Europe that were, you know, either they were, I think they're mostly part of churches and actual cloisters. So this usually has to do with monks. And they would take the structures apart and then rebuild them in New York.
Really?
So that's actually not one building. I looked it up. It's actually four different buildings that they built to put this thing together. And as you walk through, they'll tell you like what part you're in and where it came from in Europe. It's really beautiful. And within that, so the structure itself is its own work of art. You know what I mean? It's architecture from around the world. But within it, they have all of these really old, like obviously it's pulling from like the medieval times, but trying to find really old European art. And one of the big things that they're known for is that they have the unicorn tapestries, which I think
don't know what that means.
Of them.
Wait,
oh,
unicorn tapestries?
Yes.
Like made by unicorns? They're unicorns on the tapestries?
Made from unicorns?
Yeah,
what are we talking here?
So the unicorn in captivity is what it's called. Hold on. So the hunt for the unicorn, I think, is like the series of them. I'm going to look it up real quick to give you the exact thing. Hold, please. And the thing is, if you Google unicorn tapestry, you're going to go, oh, like it's a pretty famous looking. Oh, are you looking at
it?
You're
Googling
doing it right
it.
Now. Okay. I'm waiting for it. They're from the Middle Ages.
So the style looks very familiar to me, but I don't know if I've seen images
the specific
of this
thing of the unicorn in captivity. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's from like the late 1400s, early 1500s, but it's a tapestry, which is kind of amazing that it's survived that long. Because you think like obviously structures that are made of, you know, some sort of stone or bronze, they're going to be able to make it, but cloth, you know, over time doesn't.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of these that they were able to save, and they're all hanging in a row. Cool. And they're just so big and beautiful.
Like,
and
how big are you talking?
I think we're talking like, I'm going to look up the dimensions of that. Okay. Let's see. Put in dimensions. Let's see what it says. They vary in size. Well, that's not very helpful. Oh, they're about... they're usually like 10 feet. Like 10 feet tall. Like, they're huge.
Oh my goodness.
They're massive.
That's so cool. Wow.
And they're very beautiful and intricate. And again, it's unicorn, so it feels magical. But the whole time you're in this space, you feel like you're in some period piece. Like, you feel like you're in like some Robin Hood movie. It's just, and again, it's like you're in Manhattan. And the whole time you're there, you're like, am I on a European vacation? And it's so quiet. Cool. And there's this beautiful courtyard in the middle that's very pretty. And again, the park around it is, the topography of Manhattan works is that part is really high. So you're kind of lifted up anyway. It's just really, again, if you're in the East Coast and you're visiting New York City and you kind of want to see something that doesn't feel like New York City out of nowhere, it's definitely worth the, hour to get there from Midtown. Yeah, it's really beautiful, and it is. It's very soothing and very like zen when you're there. You're like, oh.
Well, that's like, probably just, perfect like, your when you're heartbeat. Living in New York too.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, you're always trying to find ways to like bring your heart rate down.
Yeah. So I went to New York a year ago, and I looked up like all these different lists of like, okay, what should I do? Where should I go and stuff? And I kept seeing that pop up, and I didn't end up making it out there just because of like the
it's a time
proximity.
Investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like I live in the mountains. So I was like, give me the city. I need it. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
But I kept seeing that on list, and I was like, what are these things? And I didn't quite understand what it was. So that's super cool to hear about that. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I highly recommend the cloisters.
Nice.
Okay, Cheryl, top that.
Well, I'm not going to. So let's just get that out of the way and say that mine is going to just be disappointing, other than I can save you some money. So saving money is kind of fun. So Ryan and I have a bit of a combined one kind of on accident that we realized before recording. So we have both been to, I thought it was just pronounced TKTS. Ryan pronounces it tickets.
Tickets.
But, I mean, that would make sense. They just took out some of the letters, and that's how language works. So the tickets booth, I've been to the one in New York, and Ryan has been to the one in London. So I'll share about my experience in New York, and then Ryan, you can share about yours in London. Okay. And so I was in New York a year ago and wanted to go see some plays. So I saw one for a pretty good discount. I was with my friend Emma, and she had an app where you could get some really good discounted tickets all through this. Like, I think it was like an unsold seats thing that was through this app. But then we had to like meet someone outside of the theater and get the tickets from them. So like some company that was selling them. But then the tickets booth, there are three locations in New York, and I went to the Lincoln Center location because I was staying really close to there. And apparently it's like a way smaller line than the one that's actually like on Broadway. So first of all, that's a good tip to know is like, I think they have all the same because I think it's all electronic. And so like, I think the three booths are selling the same tickets, and it's just when they're out. Pretty much you are buying day of Broadway tickets, and I had to stand in line, and there's like certain hours that it's open during. And so I had to stand in line that like was outside on the sidewalk, and then eventually went in the building, and they had like a reader board. This big board that looked like a movie theater board pretty much. And there were all these different shows and saying like, you know, what they had and everything. And so I had time in the line to kind of decide, like, I kind of knew like which Broadway shows are going to be. I mean, I would go see anything, you know, but I had my like preferred, like, okay, these like three I'm still super interested in. And so we'll see by the time I get to the front of the line, what's still available. And the idea is like, the price they have for you is the price they have and the seats they have, and that is it. So you can take it or leave it. And mm-hmm. But it was, I was visiting a friend, and she's a student, and so she was in classes that day. So I just went by myself, and so I went to see Anastasia, which I don't know if I would have chosen, like, just...
Oh, I'm so jealous, like, that you've seen that. My friend Kyle has actually asked if anyone wants to just fly to New York for the weekend to see that show.
It's really good.
And I've been tempted.
It's... really good. So the movie, I need to rewatch the movie because it's been a number of years, but like, to me, it was just like middle of the road when it comes to like animated princess films mm-hmm. for me. But to me, the big thing with the show was the fact that they're doing this new like projection background thing. And so mm-hmm. just like the production of it was just incredible. And I had heard about it from Emma, and she was like, yeah, apparently it's just amazing. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll check it out. And I'm so happy I did. Overall, just a great production. And then also, like, I thought the projections thing, because there's times when there's like moving projections in the background, like a yep. river that's flowing or like mm-hmm. it's snowing. And I was like, that just sounds cheesy. And it's not. And like, somehow they get their mm-hmm. blacks to be truly black, which I don't understand either. Mm-hmm. And like, there's one projection where it just looks like wallpaper, and that's all it is. And like, it's so well done. And so that was fun. But I got it at a super, I think it was like 40% off. I mean, it was like probably around half off, something around that price.
Yeah.
And so it was cool because it was just like, there were several shows that I would have wanted to see that were still available. And so that was the one that I chose, and then just went that night and had my ticket in hand. And so, I would say that's a great way to, if you know you want to go and see some shows, but you're a little flexible on like which shows that those are going to mm-hmm. be, then I'd mm-hmm. say that was a great way to do it. It takes a little bit of time because you have to stand in line, but honestly, for that discount, like, I was willing to do it. And also, we're talking about traveling alone. Go see a show alone. That's great thing to go do alone on a trip. And so I had a great time just going by myself to see a Broadway play.
So, Cheryl, do you want to go first?
I would love to. So I'm going to take you guys to New York to the High Line. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Okay, well, if you're in New York, you definitely have to go to the High Line and walk it. It's just super cool and unique. What?
I'm just picturing what that might be. You said the High Line, walk it.
Oh, no. So, it's not scary.
Go ahead. You can explain it.
It's
I'm just scary. My brain jumped ahead. Okay, good.
Oh my goodness, that's okay. Funny.
I'm yeah. out.
Or glass floors.
No glass floors, nothing like that. It's no, we're good. So it is actually used to be a train track in the neighborhood of Chelsea.
Ooh.
Yeah. And now it's been converted to this above ground park, but that's normal for parks to be above ground, but like above like the main level, I guess.
Oh.
And it is this trail, I guess. It's like a paved path that you can take, like one, I think it's one or two stories above the rest of the city. And it's like 1.5 miles long, and it's just super cool. Like it, there's like art installations all along there. And there's these really cool benches that they put wheels on, so the benches like fit on the train tracks, and so you can even like move them together or apart if you want to be an introvert or an extrovert, I guess. So it's really fun. I went there with a friend of mine, and we walked up this staircase to it, and then walked along it, and then walked down to the Chelsea neighborhood and went and got brunch down there. So that was really fun. And so, and then they're actually apparently in another part of New York building the Low Line, which is a below ground park trail type of thing. And they're going to do the same type of thing with that space, which is really cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. And so, yeah, definitely if you're in New York, go walk on the High Line. And it's just a really cool and unique experience. So, okay. Yeah. I would
that say, does sound cool.
Yeah. It's really neat.
Very cool. I have a question. So the High Line and the Low Line, do they then have to modify the song? So it's you take the High Line and I'll take the Low Line?
Yes, they probably will.
Oh, okay, cool. Boy.
But not until they open the Low Line.
Okay.
Christine, what would you like to do for your wish you were here?
Well, I am going to continue on Cheryl's trend here, and I will also be sharing about food.
Yeah!
I also love food. And I am blessed with a super cool older sister who lives in Manhattan, which is great because I get to visit her and I get to hang out in New York for a little bit, but then I get to leave New York. And I am not a New Yorker. Like, Courtney, you stay in New York. I'm going to go now because it gets a little overwhelming, but it's really awesome when I get to go visit her because she gets to take me. She of course gives me some really good recommendations of things, maybe more touristy things I can do on my own during the day when she's at work, but at night I get to live like a real New Yorker, and she takes me to all the places that the real New Yorkers go to. And the one place we have to go to every time is Joe's Shanghai, and it is a dim sum place. And it's in Chinatown, and it is no reservations. You wait in a line out the door for literally hours. I mean, it is insane to get in. You sit at these giant round tables with complete strangers. They just pack you in. So you're there with a bunch of other people. You order so much food, you have to roll yourself out the door and into a taxi. And you also brought leftovers with you home. And if you are me and Courtney, you order an extra round of dumplings just to bring home. It's the best. It is so good. That's my big recommendation. You got to do if you're in New York.
I just wish this podcast were video because Ryan's face is amazing. He is not sold. I don't think he's going to go with you.
Not at all. You're like waiting in line for hours. I'm like, ugh.
And sitting with
because
strangers.
You can't have a reservation, and then sitting with total strangers. I'm like, that sounds awful.
But Ryan,
that sounds
food.
Awful.
The food is
and
amazing.
Ryan's not a foodie.
I'm not a foodie.
So this is amazing.
I'm not a foodie.
You know
so
what's funny?
The food would have to be so good to make that worth it for me.
It is so good. But what's hysterical about that is Ryan's face during Cheryl when you were talking to you mentioned catfish. And at the same time, then yum. Ryan was like, oh, like his face was like, no, thank you. And my face was like, yes, please.
I'm like, seafood and vegetables. And Ryan's like, no.
Thank you to either of those.
That's so funny. It's okay, Cheryl, we'll go to each other's restaurants. We'll go with each other.
I'm so
Ryan,
down
you just
for
gotta
that.
Cut out.
That's, you know what? I'm okay with that.
I think the best we could get is if we saved a spot for Ryan in line. And then told him when we were seated and he could join us, and then got people he knew to sit at the table with us so that he didn't have to sit with strangers. Would you go then, Ryan?
I'd think about it.
Cheryl's like, look at all these ways we'll accommodate you. And Ryan's like,
because dumplings, dim sum is so good.
You're going to hate me. I don't even really know what dim sum is. I'm sure I've had it before, but like, I just don't know.
It's like dumplings. Like, if you've ever heard of
no,
like,
but that dim sum is the style of eating.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
See, I didn't know that. Oh. I just know, like, they're the little, like, soup dumplings, and they come in these, like, little steamer things, and you take off the lids, and it's really
like
hot
bao?
And steamy. You kind of like. Yeah. Along those lines, but they've got like soup inside them.
But
I don't
dim
know how.
Sum is a style of the way that food is served. They walk around the restaurant with carts with food on them.
Yeah.
And when you see something you want, you point to it and they put it on your table. So you get to see the food and then you're like, yep, that looks good. nope, not interested in that. And you can just kind of keep getting more until you're
full. You're pushing me farther and farther away from doing this, Cheryl. Oh, that no. also sounds
well,
terrible.
I love it because sometimes you read something on a menu and you're like, I can't picture that. How big is it?
But if it's a dumpling, you can't see it anyway. All you're looking at is the outside of the dumpling.
Well, okay, it's not just dumplings. It's all sorts of food. It's just it's Chinese food. Okay. But it's a way that Chinese food is served.
I see.
Like,
okay.
The style of the restaurant is dim sum.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christine, there's a dim sum place in Factoria I've never been to, but I just heard about, and apparently it's very good.
We have to go.
I know. But they're not doing dine-in right now, and I feel like dim sum has to be dine-in because that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Cheryl, what would you like to do for your wish you were here?
I want to share about something in Central Park in New York City. There are a ton of statues or sculptures in Central Park, and they're fun to go visit or track down and find. I mean, and they're all listed on Google Maps at this point. And so I was there a couple years ago, and there were a few of the statues I really wanted to see. I wanted to see the Balto one, and then I was excited to see the Alice in Wonderland one. And the Alice in Wonderland one is really big, and she's on a mushroom that goes out really far, and then there's some of the characters around on the edges. But what's really funny about that one is that there aren't exactly playgrounds in Central Park, or they're not easy to find. So that was the playground. There were 15-20 children on this statue. It was just crawling with kids, and then they're a circle of parents around the edge of it. And so it was funny. I wanted to take a picture of it, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna take a picture of people's kids. But it was a really cool statue. So I mean, there's a ton of them throughout the park, and there's some people from history or all sorts of things, and it's fun to go track them down and see them in Central Park.
Awesome. Ashley, why don't you go ahead and go first?
So mine is actually from where I grew up, but it's a tourist town, Cooperstown, New York, Baseball Hall of Fame. Yay, sports. I worked in this tiny little place. It even had its address was 136 and a half. Main Street.
Oh my gosh, it's like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, it's the Cooperstown Diner.
That's so cool.
It was my first job that I enjoyed doing. I did it in my last couple years of high school, and I did it through college when I was home for breaks. And I just absolutely loved the people I worked with. It was where I learned to love country music. They have the best burgers and cinnamon roll French toast ever.
Ooh.
Yep. People have heard about this little tiny diner, and they wait outside the door because I think it holds 24 people total. There's four tables and one counter. That's it. It's this little tiny building. It's adorable and well known, and the food is amazing, and just it's great. I loved it.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it was. We would love it if you would follow us on social media. We are at TimWee Podcast. That's at TMWY for Take Me With You Podcast. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
You can also email us at timweepodcast@gmail.com. Tell us, what are your wish you were here for this location?
We would love to hear that. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 406-763-8699. Or if it's easier to remember, 406-POD-TIMWEE. We would love it if you would rate and review our podcast to tell other people what you think about it, subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode, and share about this episode on your social media.
As always, thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the awesome artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. And thank you to Erica Corbin for the use of her song Round the Globe. You can listen to Erica's music wherever music is sold or streamed.
That's all we have for this episode. So until next time, remember to take me with you.
Take me with you.
Can we get a sailboat chasing down the sunset as we float round and round the globe? salty air and balmy nights, guided only by the lights above and light little love. All the world is out there waiting to explore, and all our troubles here want them to